There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning to the podcast. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh, and welcoming you to our Thursday edition of this broadcast. And we go all over the world. We have several listeners in foreign countries that listen daily, weekly. I'd say we have four or five countries represented. We certainly are thankful for that. Thank you to those of you here in the United States listening, folks we know personally, folks we don't know. We appreciate all of you listening. And as some of you know, we've had some issues with our sound equipment. We thought we had it fixed, and we're back in the brink where now we can't get it to work at all. So we're using the most base form of recording at this juncture and at this point. But never fear, when we get back from Oklahoma, we're just going to order a whole new setup. It'll be as basic as anything else we can do. So we're just trying to get that done. It's going to take about 10 days to get that. We're going to go from there. So just pray about that if you would. Pray the Lord just get us with a little bit better quality. I like good quality broadcasts. If you can hear us, then the quality's not too bad. I thank the Lord for that. Tomorrow night, we'll begin there in Oklahoma City, Sooner Rose Baptist Church, 6:30 p.m. And we're looking forward to those services then all day on Saturday and Sunday as well. And just see what the Lord is going to do. Then Wednesday night, we'll be back at Sooner Rose Baptist Church next week. And then Friday, we head down to Antlers and see our good friend that we met many years ago up in Scio, New York. First time I ever went to New York. That was the first church I preached in Western New York, was in Scio. And I got to meet Brother Sheridan. He's now pastoring down in southern Oklahoma. And so we certainly look forward to what the Lord is going to do in these services. We're back in the book of Hebrews, and we're winding up the book of Hebrews. We're in the last chapter, the last verses. But I want to beleaguer this point a little bit more than some, not just to drag it out, but because of what it says. Verse 16 of Hebrews 13 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." And it's interesting, it uses the word communicate there. And that's one of those King James Bible words that the Word of God speaks of. And it's one of those that it kind of defines itself different places. You hear communication or communicate used many different ways in the Word of God. But the Word of God, you know, Paul talked about in Philippians 4, notwithstanding you've well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, what is that communication? I'd say it's to the Lord. And then Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So there it's used in the context of teaching, of understanding. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And what I like about that, then in verse 19, what Paul tells Timothy, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so what he's speaking of, again, the context here, no doubt about that, to do good and to communicate, forget not. What is our communication? Our communication is the gospel. But he also tells us to do good. Why? The Lord does good, and the Lord is good. We're not good outside of him. He is good, but we're not good, but we can do good. In fact, we can do good unto all men. The Word of God tells us that. And because we can do good unto all men, we ought to do good unto all men. And it's one of those things that folks say, well, you know, where do we draw that line? I don't want to be a liberal. I don't want to be a compromiser. But the reality is, if you're doing good unto all men, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're not doing it for your profit or for your gain. For all men have not faith. And he said, all men to condemnation. And he speaks of showing meekness unto all men. He speaks that thanks be given of thanks be made, I believe, for all men. And so we see instruction concerning all men. And so we ought to do good unto all men. We ought to live peaceably unto all men. And we ought to just work with all men. Let our moderation be known unto all men. And the Word of God tells us, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's Titus 2:11, verse 12 says, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So what is our ministry? It's all men. So who are we good to? Well, we forget not these things. We do good unto all men. And then we communicate unto all men. Your life is your communication. It is the words that you speak. It is the actions that you speak. I was in communication this week with a dear brother, and I thank God for him. We're discussing the matter of speech and the correction of people's speech and what people can say and what they shouldn't say and what they can say. And I was kind of lamenting the idea that the Victorian rules have been applied to ministry today. We come out of the idea, and maybe some are certainly more strict with their speech. Some are more clean with their speech. I know people said they've never said what we would consider a cuss word in all their days. And I know people that still slip up and say terrible cuss words, been saved for a while, and they're apologetic. I know some that use different language than I do. And we were lamenting this. We were discussing this, just the matter of this correction of people's speech and how there are those that use that as an occasion to silence people. They really don't want to hear the message. But then there are those that are greatly offended by the speech, even though the Bible says, great peace of language, love thy law, nothing shall offend them. But it's a matter, I think, of the heart, whether we deliberately offend. Some just have a way about them. Some, it's why my ministry is proud of smaller churches. I go into more rural communities and more down and out communities with pretty plainness of speech. A lot of folks there, it's not strange for me to come to the church house and smell cigarette smoke and see, you know, skull spit outside and ladies in there in decent attire and hear foul language, because that's the kind of churches I go in. And God just made me an evangelist to those churches, and I thank God for that. That's the kind of people I'm reaching. I'm not going in the BJU, PCC churches for the most part, where they have an idea of how cleaned up we are. And I'm not trying to target anybody by saying that at all. Please don't understand that. But I don't go in guys who are trained at Crown College that hold a high ethical standard over the Word of God. And their polish is really what they specialize in. Their appearance is what they specialize in. And I don't go in those places because that's not the people I'm able to reach. And that plainness of speech, doing good to people, and then communicating where they can understand you. Don't forget this. You talk to people in a language they can understand. I'm not talking about vulgar or profane. I'm talking about in a language they can understand. To the baser sort, you speak baser things. To those that are illiterate, those that maybe don't have a high education, you have to use words they can understand. And listen, I read a lot. I have a fairly extensive vocabulary. I try to limit it lest I sound silly by using the wrong words or mispronouncing words. But the reality is, it's plainness of speech that people understand. That's why Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That's pretty plain. You don't have to get any plainer than that. So you're going to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So it tells me that there must be an effort. You have to put effort into doing good. You realize you can do good to that man on the street corner. And I'm just going to give a little bit of advice here. This is something my wife and I've tried to do at different times. We keep a lot of snacks in the van because the McVeighs are known for their level of snacking, which is a lot higher than most folks. We keep a very diligent level of snacking in our home and in our family. It's about a 24/7 thing with us. And so we always have snacks in the van. We usually carry water in the van. And we'll see somebody, especially on a hot summer day, on the side of the road. And, you know, we just try to give them a snack, give them a bottle of water, give them a beef jerky, you know, something to try to be a help, something to be a blessing. It costs us literally nothing to do. We do good. We give them a track. I'm not saying we do this all the time. I'm just saying I give advice for some things, how to handle certain things. But imagine you're at the line at the grocery store. And the lady in front of you is frantic, 9 children, and she just can't find her purse, and she can't. What would be wrong with somebody paying her bill? And I know immediately people just knee-jerk against that. But if God that seeth good and rewardeth good sees that, is he not going to reward that? I personally have witnessed that firsthand. I did not do that. But I saw a dear man. He said, ma'am, I'm taking care of this bill. And he pulled out a wad of cash and paid the cashier. And then he and the man with him, myself, helped her carry the groceries out to the car, get the children in the car. She didn't appear grateful. She didn't appear very thankful. Left her a gospel tract. But you do good unto all men. But then he talks about those of the household of faith in another place. And you're going to do good unto them that are the household of faith. Why? Because they're God's people. And God's people are the greatest people in all the world. And so you want to do good to those that are in the household of faith. You want to do good to those in the church house. But you want to do good unto all men. In Galatians 6:10 is where he tells us, if we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And this is why I wanted to buckle down here, because the Lord is pleased with that sacrifice, to do good unto all men and equally do good. I don't care if it's the guy with the bone in his nose and his eyelids tattooed with pentagrams, you can still be good to him. The little girl down at the convenience store with the blue hair and bangles in her ears and tattoos on her tongue, and that hates God and curses you and curses everybody, you can still do good unto her. Why? Because he said, as we therefore have opportunity. And so God is looking for that opportunity. God is looking for us to have that opportunity, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You can always do good to God's people. They have a medical issue going on. What do they need? They need money. If you wash your hands and have a clean kitchen and don't have pests crawling across the counter, don't have hair in the food, then make somebody a good meal. And if you can't do that, then go get them a gift card. Take care of their needs. Help them. Help them along this journey. Show them some comfort. Show them some strength. That meat is a substance of comfort. The Word of God tells us that. A meal can be comforting. Compassion can be comforting. And so we're going to do good. It's a sacrifice to do good. Folks don't see it that way. Folks don't realize this is a sacrifice. What's wrong with putting gas in somebody's car? What's wrong with helping somebody on the street? What's wrong with helping somebody that appears to have money? If you see a Lincoln or a Rolls Royce even on the side of the road broken down, why wouldn't you do good to them? Why don't you do good to those men? Why can't we do good? Why can't we practice that sacrifice and to communicate, forget not? When you do good, communicate. Tell them Jesus Christ. Tell them what the Lord's done for you. I can tell stories to the negative. I can tell stories to the positive of my own life. I'd like to only tell stories to the positive on this podcast because it makes me look better. But I have stories to the negative where the Lord even smote my heart and I ignored people. And what an awful thing. What a terrible thing. I remember I arrived at some folks' house for dinner one time. The Lord had clearly instructed me to stop and minister to somebody's needs in town. It was a bitter, cold, sleety, nasty evening. And I drove through town. I stopped at his home for dinner. And I said, folks, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I said, I disobeyed God. And I left and went and got in my car, went back downtown and had to minister to somebody for 30 minutes in the cold and the sleet. And then I got back there for dinner. Dinner's cold. They're all mad. They ate without me as I asked them to do it. Everybody's angry with me for leaving. They couldn't understand that. Why didn't they just obey God? Because we ought to obey God rather than man. We put these priorities, and that's why he said it's a sacrifice. You might lose friends over these things. You might lose friends over the Word of God in these things. Secondarily, now in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. We talked about submitting to those that have the rule over you, and we talked about remembering them that have the rule over you. So why do we submit? For they watch for your souls. Who? Those that have the rule over you. Again, those that establish the rule. Those that step. That pastor of the New Testament church has the rule over that church. If you're part of that church, he has the rule. He establishes the standard. If there's no standard, there's no rule. If there's no line, there's no rule. If there's no plummet, there's no rule. If he doesn't establish the width of his hand, there's no rule. But he established that. When they establish a rule, no matter how insignificant, no matter how small it is, then you submit yourself. Why? They watch for your souls. That's why when a pastor calls an assembly, and again, that assembly's different. That assembly's different than just a meeting. They call those pieces to come together. How important is it you attend the assembly? It's absolutely important that you be there. Why? Because he's called the assembly, and he's watching for your soul. I watch people that have lost spouses that don't hardly go to church. They miss meetings all the day. They get every excuse under the sun. They got lost children, lost spouses, and they don't see the need to go to church. And the extra meetings, special meetings, assemblies called, they don't see a need for it. And I know a man that got saved because of that. God smote his heart. The first thing he yelled at this pastor when he visited him, I'll never miss the house of God again. Why? He was realizing that his skipping church was destroying his family. God saved him that night, by the way. And so therefore, we submit to those that have the rule over us, that watch for our souls. Why? We obey them first, then submit yourselves. For they watch as that they must give account. And so they give an account for you, they can instruct you, and they can teach you, and they can rule over you. That's not tyranny, but they rule over you, and if you don't submit, they're going to give an account that they told you the truth. They established the rule. Now, if it's severe enough, they the sin rebuke before all that others may fear. That's lost today. Very few will accept rebuke today. Most saved folk can accept rebuke. Especially spiritual saved folk, but most carnal or lost people, they can't accept rebuke, especially not public rebuke. But he said, they the sin rebuke before all. Why? There's a time that person that has the rule realize this is out of sorts. This is destructive to the ministry. I'm watching for other people's soul, and I have to rebuke them. And he said, to give an account, they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So when they give an account of you, will they do it with joy? When my pastor gives an account of me, will he do it with joy? Listen, I've had four pastors in my life, and I believe most of them would say they give an account with joy. Some change later on, and maybe wouldn't be so joyous, but they gave an account. Why? I tried to be a good church member. I didn't cause too many problems deliberately, but I ended up causing a lot of problems a couple of times because folks just opposition to the ministry, opposition to me, opposition to my style of preaching, my manner of my words, and they withstood that. But the reality of it is that I tried to be a blessing to my pastors. I tried to be a financial help to my pastors. I tried to free them up where they could have time to get in the Word of God and watch for my soul, watch for the souls of my family, care about my family, have time in the Word of God that they might minister to our needs so that it's profitable to me whenever I stand in judgment. And if I've obeyed those that have the rule over me, and I've submitted myself to those that have the rule over me, and if I'll remember those that have the rule over me, looking at them as an example of faith, then God would find great profit in that. And that is profitable to anyone, that God would find profit in you. It's a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing. So make sure we do that. Make sure you do good. Make sure you communicate the truth to others. And then obey those that have the rule over you, for those that are watching for your souls. Make sure that you submitted yourselves to them, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Have a great day.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord as he cries for forgiveness and mercy. God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption calleth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.